Hello, and welcome to the media ministry of Living Word Church in Roberts, Illinois. Today, Pastor Douglas Lee shares truth from the Word of God that will inspire and motivate you. We pray that as you listen to this message, your ears will be open to hear and your heart to receive all that God has for you. Join us now as we journey together through God's Word.
Today, as I get ready to share with you, I know I'm out of style a little bit in what I'm wearing this morning, but I did it on purpose. It's about a 10-year-old shirt my son bought me back when UFC wear was kind of all the rage, and I don't know, it's just, I wore it this morning, though, because it's emblematic of something in my life. I think of certain images when I think of warfare and battle and a strategy and recognizing that in this life, to produce anything for God, you're going to have a fight. And in honor of the fight, it's a fight of faith that is a fight that we will win if we use our faith. And whenever you're in a fight of faith, the enemy sends opposition your way. And you may not know that there's opposition against the kingdom of God, because a lot of people think and say that God is in control of everything in this world, and that's really not true. Control belongs to Satan in this world, except we take it back. Jesus provided deliverance on the cross from the opposition. The opposition is the enemy, but it doesn't mean he is back in the corner of the ring not coming out for a fight. Every time you pray, every time you speak the word of God, the bell rings and there is another round. And you are going to have to choose to be a contender in the opposition. You are going to choose to recognize that as you enter the ring, you are the proclaimed victor. Nonetheless, you have to raise up your hands and do some fighting. That fighting is a fight of faith that God equipped you with when Jesus came into your life. When you were born again, you were given the equipping of the Spirit of God to do a fight through you. Now, when you come to church, you're going to hear the Word of God without a lot of, I say, falderal. I just try to make it as clear as I can, as bold as I can, as easy as I can to understand in the limited time frame that we have. But the Word of God comes into our life, and we have to choose to believe it. And you cannot believe the Word of God fully until you take action on it. So this morning is meant to help you move into an arena of action. Because whether you know it or not, the bell in your life keeps ringing and there is an enemy out to take you down to the mat for the 10 count, but rather you need to put your foot on his neck and hold him down for the 10 count. Amen. Everything in the will of God depends on your ability to do that. Thankfully, when Jesus went and ascended to heaven, he said, I'm going to send you a helper. I'm going to send you the person of the Holy Spirit, who is your teacher, who is your counselor, who is your strengthener, and the one called alongside to help you. And he will coach you through every step of your Christian walk. The Holy Spirit isn't just out to help you make it through life and go to heaven. He wants you to experience victory in this life again and again and again. You would think, well, the fight will be over once I hold the enemy down. The enemy, Satan, manifests in many different ways. And he will keep trying to disguise himself as something that will either intimidate you or bring limitation into your life or manipulate you. There are three giants that oppose your Christian walk, that oppose any work of ministry, that oppose any person who will rise up. That first voice is the loud voice of your own limitation in what the enemy tries to tell you, what your mind tries to tell you, what other people might try to tell you, what situations will dictate to you that you are too limited and you are not enough for that situation. You cannot overcome that enemy. But the Spirit of God in you is the one who is more than enough. He's called alongside to help you, not to limp along, but to gain the victory. He's called alongside you to give you whatever kind of talk you need to rise up strong. Understand your victory is in the word you hear, that you then turn around and repeat and decree and declare, that will bring you the victory. The word that you say from your mouth will change your mind more than my words ever can. The word from your mouth, if it is God's word, is God speaking through you, not just about you. And you want the word of God to come through you. That's how the power of God's released in your life. Not so much the anointing on me, but the anointing that God puts on you that you act on. If you act on it, it becomes yours. If you don't, it's merely me stating something I know God has under the anointing, under the unction and authority of God. Jesus said he would use preachers in the church. He uses preachers to declare words under an anointing that will drive themselves down into the deepest part of your life for you to choose to believe, and then they will rise up and come back out of your mouth and you'll begin to take action. That's the power of God in you. It starts by settling in your heart and you get a hold of the truth, but the truth sets you free as you begin to proclaim it, because as you say it out of your mouth, your mind might fight anybody else's words, but when your mind hears your words, it's going to believe what you say, and you're going to have whatsoever you say. I wish you could have whatsoever the preacher would say, but you got to do some saying. So today is about the opposition and understanding how the opposition wars against you, first in your own mind, what you choose to believe about you. The more you hear God's word and choose to believe it, you're going to have your mind changed. That means you have more the mind of Christ, which literally means the anointing, which means your mind is going to line up with what God wants to do. It's going to line up with what God has poured power into your life to do. And when you hear a word preached like this, the power of God's going to come to meet the word of God to make it happen in your life. But you got to have the power. The power comes from a rubbed on unction from God where he says, I recognize they are saying my word. I need to deliver power where my word is. I need to put my power and authority behind my word. I need to cause it to count for something. This is not a mere human voice. This is the voice of one who has been blood bought with the blood of Christ Jesus, and the anointing and the power of God will come upon their words as they speak, because the anointing will come to break the yoke of bondage and oppression. Your greatest seat of bondage is in your mind and the limits your mind tries to put on you. Don't believe the limitation. When limitations come to hold you from the plan of God, the liar is behind the limitation. Any limitation can be broken because the power of God, the word of God, is at work in your life. The bondage-breaking power of God is at work against the limitations that rise up in your mind. You might have limitation come against you through situation where you look at your circumstances and you begin to say, I don't see how it can go the way of God, even though I've prayed it. You rise up and say, I come against the opposition. I will contend with the opposition. God has anointed me to be a contender, and if I enter into this contention, I will win by the declaration of the Lord Jesus Christ when he rose again from the grave. And you will rise up out of that limitation of circumstances. Then, bless God, there are the people. There's always somebody that wants to help you take the letdown easy when you're too limited to face the challenge. There's always somebody that will tell you, well, you've done the best you could do. I'm going to tell you something about that. Maybe you did, but God picks up where you leave off. And he does that through you, and sometimes you feel animated. You feel like it's God taking expression through your life. When you ran out, he took over. Expect situations like that if you're going to contend with the opposition. Expect it to take all you've got and then some, and the sum comes from him, not from you. That's who we are in God. When we run out, he is more sufficient in us than our supply of ourselves could ever be. We are just a modicum and a token of who he is really in the flesh. He is spirit, and he will rise up in the power of the spirit inside of us, and you will become like another man. Today we're looking at someone who continued to do that again and again in his life, so much so that God said, this is a man after my own heart, a man who made mistakes, but I'm going to tell you something, he did far more right than the mistakes that he made. Be a person like that. No matter how many mistakes you've made, no matter how much today you listen to this message and say, I've listened to all those voices and they have stopped me so many times. Recognize David, King David, anointed to be king, becoming king, was one of those. And he rose up and he said, I may have done some things wrong, but I'm going to go do a whole lot more things right. And declare that your latter days will be better than your former days, and you'll rise up in the power of his Spirit instead of some other intimidation, limitation, or being manipulated by manipulators. Many times people will come to you thinking they're helping you take it easy and relax and come down from the high plans that you've had. I've had a lot of people in my life try to tell me when it looks like I'm not going to prevail, oh, it'll be all right. You were noble in your proclamation of faith. You know what I say on the inside every time? Stand back, hide, and watch. This boy's not done yet. Why? I'm still alive. And he just needs an alive person. Why? It's the power of God that makes us prevail. He just needs a shell of a person to work through. So today, if you feel like nothing more than a shell of a person as a Christian, he's about to fill you with his anointing so that you can overcome. See, Pastor, why is this so in your heart? Because I see the enemy trying to destroy what God wants to do. And I'll have none of that. Now, Romans 5:17 says, they who receive... That means we get to choose whether we want it or not. Today you get to choose whether you want it or not. The abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in this life by the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Anointed One. That means it's your choice this morning. There is the grace of God to meet you where you are, no matter what's happening in your life this morning, if you choose to receive it. And the grace of God upon you, the anointing of God upon you, what will come upon you from these words this morning is the anointing, the rubbed on presence of God, the rubbed on wisdom and favor of God to break free of opposition. I can't do it for you. I started with this series weeks ago, preparing in my heart, Lord, what would you have me bring and when would you have it? Because he said, there's an egregious attack against your people. When he uses words like that, I know he's describing the enemy. When I consider what the Lord means by that, when he would say something like that, he's letting me know, releasing the right words will break the power of the enemy. If you're hearing the words this morning, the potential for power, the potential and the power is coming together. You are the potential. You are God's potential for revival. You are God's potential for soul winning. You are God's potential to reach the nations. You are God's potential to win everybody around you. You are God's potential to show the world who Jesus is. You're his potential. But without his power, the potential's all locked up on a place inside of you called the kingdom of God. The plan and will and purpose of God has came into you when Jesus came to live in you. He came in with the plan for you. Potential is not enough. It's a wonderful thing to think about, and it's a great platform to dream from on occasion. But without the power of God coming into the potential will make you heartsick at what you could have done that you never achieved and you wish you could now do. I want to tell you something. If you'll take hold of the power of his anointing this morning, it'll come into your potential, and you'll no longer apologize to yourself for what you have not done for God. Instead, you'll rise up and become a doer of the word, and he will let you know how well pleased he is in you, because he says he rewards those that diligently seek him. We need his help to seek him. How pitiful. But that's the state of fallen man. We need something from God to set ourselves straight to pursue him. That's the person of the Holy Spirit. When you accepted Jesus, that person, his spirit came to live and dwell in you. And he says, because of that, the anointing of the one living in you will be the anointing and power to come upon you in your life. That means even things on the outside will begin to change. I hear most preachers today say, oh, we're living God from the inside out. There's an element of that in your life. But I'm going to tell you something. The outside part of your life needs the power of God too. It's not going to wait on you to learn all the truth. Here's a wonderful thing about the Holy Spirit. When we hear the preaching of his word, we can choose at the moment to say, I trust God, therefore I believe it at the first pass. Amen. Many times we got to think we got to be convinced. I'm going to tell you something. Just decide to be convinced at God's word. And when you're convinced, you can say, I receive it now instead of waiting 6 more months. Or 6 more years, or until I feel differently. If we were going to go by our feelings, we'd all roll up and die long ago. Why? Feelings can lie to you from time to time. Feelings have told you before to give up. Well, you didn't. You're still here. See, we know better than that, yet at times it slows us down a little bit. I believe that the holding back is going to be broken off. I believe the doubt and deliberation is going to be broken off. I believe that the blinders will be removed. I believe that deaf ears will be unstopped and that our hearts will receive the fullness of God's word that has power and anointing, not just a promise, but the actual delivery of God's power into our life. At you believing God's word, He'll bring the power. Why then don't we receive it? Because we don't want to take action sometimes. Anointing is to be a doer. Anointing isn't to be a hearer. It comes when we choose to be a doer. Well, Lord Jesus, stop the clock for an hour. I pray that once in a while. Just give me a free hour, Lord, and then start the clock. Now, this is one of those times where I just, if you can't tell, there's tangible anointing. Amen. See, I know what it is this morning. Now, we have to receive that anointing before we contend with the enemy, or the opposition will create hurt. So, well, I've stepped out before and it didn't work out. That's because you weren't in the fight when you stepped out. You just stepped out there and thought you're going to be all right because you're a Christian now. You have an enemy to contend with you. So you have to step out as a contender. This morning will help you know how to do that. We're engaging in what I call an age-old battle. It's what happens at the front lines of learning how to rule and reign. When I share this scripture where we started, it sounds wonderful. There's been thousands of sermons across the nation about ruling and reigning in life as a king. How wonderful it was if it was as simple as saying that verse every day. But instead, if you're going to rule and reign as a king, recognize that the kings of this earth, Satan's forces, want to rule and reign. And you have the power of God in you to displace them, but you as a person have to displace them. If you wondered why maybe prayer isn't being answered, you might have to get rid of an enemy stronghold. You might have to clean something up that's in your mind, a lie that you've chosen to believe from the past. You may have to step back away from manipulation and the limitation of your own thinking and what has happened when you're around people in wrong fellowship and they talk you out of everything that God's trying to talk you into. Amen. You might have to decide to step back from being intimidated yourself by circumstance. But you've got to do something. It would be nice if what happened for one in the church happened for all. It can, but everybody's got to step out and do some doing. See, I don't know where your greatest stronghold is, but I know that Scripture says that we war not against flesh and blood, but powers and principalities. That means there's something in this world that's duped you into not ruling and reigning, and you got to do some contending with that. Move it out of the way. I'm more conscious this year of any year in our church history that God wants to elevate the station of families. That He's wanting to bless and help families. That He's wanting to move us forward in the plan of God so your resources shall become richer and your ministry unto the Lord shall become greater. Those are His words, you see. So I look then, okay, what's stopping that? Why? I'm a contender. I don't mind a bit getting out there and being the first one to jump in the ring. I don't like being the only one in the ring. So I invite you, why? You've got your own ring set up. And you know what? Though the enemy contends against you, he knows you have the potential to win. He knows you need one thing more than potential, and that's simply the power of God to hit you. The power of God will come upon you to win over in anything if you choose to give your life to the Lord Jesus more fully. See, the anointing comes through a process we call lordship. When we say, Jesus, I'm giving you more of me, He says, fine, I'm giving you more of me. Here's some power. Here's some authority. And that's how we live and move and have our being in Him. We have a relationship where we keep giving. We're in a covenant of giving. When we give, He gives. So well, why is that? He gave first. He initiated. Then He says, give me your life back. And when we give Him a piece of our life back through lordship, He gives us something else. Say, is that how it works? Yeah, that's how you grow in God. You keep giving Jesus something else and He gives you something better. Why? He will always do you one better. I want you to know that about him. The generosity of God is poured out step by step and bit by bit, but he will always do you one better than you just did him. You can count on it. So much better that you'll say, wow, if I'd have known this was coming, I would have obeyed him long ago. That's who we serve. Now, we want to talk about what happens then at the front line of reigning, because the beginning of reigning is the battle. It's not post-battle, it's in the battle. If you're in a battle this morning, it's proof you are threatening to rule and reign over the works of darkness. You are a threat to the other kingdom. If you're sitting back and anything coming against you or going wrong, well, then I don't know about you. I would question, are you saved or not? Why? The battle of salvation simply means we continually are being saved. It means we're engaged in taking back what rightly belongs to us that the devil has lied to us about. On a personal level, on a church level, on a national level, and we're to carry that out to the people of the world. So you're in a battle, like it or not. Well, you'll like it better if you're equipped for it. So I'm going to try to give you what I think it takes to be equipped to rise up. The battle is the Lord's, is what the scripture says. And if you are the Lord's, you have nothing to be worried about in the battle. But if you don't know Jesus, God help you. Why? Because darkness works this way. It preys upon its own eventually in the end. And people lose their life for all eternity because they never engaged Jesus in the first place. We're not of that sort. Now, this is a place I call the Valley of Contention, but this is 1 Samuel 17 in your Bibles. And, you know, if you want notes, they're available to you after the service, but I like to sometimes not give them to you before. Why? I get better engagement. I can see when the word goes into people. Many times the Holy Spirit lets me see when it goes down into the heart. And I've learned that it works better this way. Why? We listen with our spiritual ears. And we're not worried about, oh, I didn't catch that. See, when you engage and you make eye contact and you press in, the Holy Spirit ministers to your spirit. Pastor's just the one talking, okay? Now, 1 Samuel 17, now the Philistines. The Philistines were God's kingdom's archenemy. They just kept popping up everywhere to try to stop Israel. This is Old Testament, but it's a picture very much of your life if you're going to rule and reign. There are forces marching against you, some that you see and some that you can't see. But every time you prevail over the ones that are in front of you right now and you win a battle, the sound of that victory carries over the hills to the opposing armies that were coming for you, and they are dissuaded against you. Why? They hear of the victory you got and they know it came by Jesus, and they say, I don't know if we want to go there. Your victory in God intimidates the enemy. You don't. But when you get the victory through him, it does. Why? They know you just hooked up your potential with God's power, and they can't stop that force. See, it isn't you. It's Christ, the anointing that lives in you. It's he who does the works. Well, you can think about that. The Philistines gather together their armies to battle. We're in a generation like that. If you don't know that, wake up. We're in a generation where the hosts of darkness are trying to shut up and put back the church. Oh, you can have your beliefs, just don't tell anybody. Well, we're in a proclaiming religion, if I can use the word religion. We're in a relationship where we run our mouth about it. Why? God said to. He said, you can have whatsoever you say. And we're supposed to say what he says, and then we can have what he gave us, see? We can have what Jesus won on the cross. Now, so what are we? We're kind of mouthy when the anointing comes. If you don't know me, I'm not a mouthy person in the natural. I'm a quiet person. But when the power of God comes, I have something to say. Why? It's Jesus having something to say. And I've learned to release that and let him have his way and have him say something. Why? It startles people sometimes. Why? God's direct and bold. He has the answer. And he knows your potential. He just wants the power to mix with your potential, and there's not any stopping you. There's one problem or the other. Either you didn't see potential or didn't believe it, or you didn't receive power. What's our potential then locked up in? It's locked up in the hearing of God's word, God's promises about our life. Not what we think, not our predispositions, not our physical ability, not our mental acuity, not even our spiritual understanding of the word. It's locked up in hearing God's word and choosing to believe that before we understand what we're believing. When I hear a promise, I just say, I believe that. And I don't even know exactly what it's going to mean in my life. I just choose to believe it right away. Well, if I believe it, then I can have it. And between the believing and the having, there's usually a battle, all right? There's a contending. I don't like to say, okay, let's have the next one come try to beat me up. I go conditioned for whatever the contention is. I get ready. Why, the Holy Spirit will show you things to come. Your next matchup looks like this, Mr. Doug. Let's get conditioned. Oh. See, you see the enemy at his prime, you'll want to do what it takes to be Jesus' disciple, because without him, you can't do anything. So I'm trying to show you something of things to come. Why? You'll begin to condition your heart to believe differently about yourself. If you can believe differently about yourself, this church will be different than it is today. Amen. It'll begin to change. The church can't move forward until the people in the church move forward, because the people are the church. Jesus set it up that way. He said the kingdom of God is locked up in the inside of all of us. For it to be unlocked, we've got to get the key. He said, I'm giving you the keys to the kingdom. We're talking about that today. Now, they gathered the armies together, and they were in Judah, or they were in God's territory. They were in God's people's life. They came to where the people lived. The enemy brings a battle to you. He doesn't wait for you to get to the battle. Have you ever noticed that? You don't have to go looking to have a contention with the enemy. He will cause something to happen where you choose to be a contender or you become a loser. That's who the enemy is. Why? He has some authority in this life until you tell him you have more authority. And your authority comes in Jesus' name. But they met at this place that means at the edge of blood. Understand, that's how God sees you and your life. The enemy will take you to the edge of blood, meaning to take you out, or meaning really to take away the power of the blood of Jesus in your life, to make you powerless. And in that place, he will say the same thing to you that he does did to Israel in this story. Whoever wins will be the master and king over the other. Whoever loses will be the servant to the winner. And the enemy thinks he's going to pull it off on you, that you will always serve the world system, death and destruction, sadness, despair, defeat, all of those things. But once in a while, and I say once in a while because a lot of people don't choose to do this, the innermost man rises up like it did in David, who was a child, really. Or we'll say it this way, he was somewhere in his teen years. But the Spirit of God rose up in him and an anointing came upon him. Why, he was anointed for potential. David had already been told, you're going to be the next king. And the current king was pulling back, and they were all shaking in their boots every time Goliath called out some heckle toward the church and toward the people of God. But David came in bearing bread and cheese, serving those who had already gone down to battle, serving those that God had anointed to be on the front line, but none of them would tap into their potential. They'd been anointed for battle. David had been anointed to be king. But if you're anointed to be king, you are the master over the Lord's hosts. So spiritually, if you've been anointed, there's a whole army at your disposal at the mention of Jesus' name, if you'll take the right step. And Jesus working through, the Spirit of God working through David, took a step bearing cheese, but he went out to take out Goliath. You may look at your life right now and say, well, I'm just serving in the nursery, or I'm just teaching Sunday school, or I'm waiting to be assigned. You may serve bread and cheese a long time, but it all changes when you choose to engage the battle, when you recognize there's something more in you God wants to do, and it takes His power for you to deliver it. And something will happen when you confront the enemy in that state, that you will feel the Spirit of God rise up on the inside of you and say, not today, devil, you're not getting me again. And you will rise up. And you may not look like so much at the moment. You might not have gone down to the battlefront to think you're going to participate in the battle. You might just want to be feeding those that are supposed to. You know, they weren't. They were supposed to be doing battle. So the anointing that was for those who were supposed to fight the battle all came upon David at the same time, and he became one single man to stand up for the power of God, to mix a little potential anointing, a promise of the future that would launch him into that future supernaturally by rising up against the opposition, not just to himself, but the opposition to the people of God. You want to experience the power of God? Do something for somebody else. Do something to help somebody else get set free. Determine in your heart, I'm going to rise up. Why? There's anointing on a whole lot of people doing a whole lot of nothing, waiting to get on somebody who'll do just a little something. Be one of those somebodies to do something. Why? The power of God is available, and it runs off most people because they're not a doer of anything. The power of God is waiting to come upon you if you'll simply be a doer. Bless God. This is what I call the valley of contention. It's a site for battle. On one side were the Philistines on a mountain. On one side was Judah on another mountain. And there was a valley in the middle. And they were going to all have to come down to that battle to fight. But there were two champions that were going to go. Understand, the army of God will be happy for you when you win. But you're going to engage your own Goliath. You usually don't let other people in your head to know what's wrong in your thought life. But there's a Goliath there holding you back, trying to limit you by your own belief or lack of belief in God. You're going to have to go in your thinking and change your thinking with God's word. There will be people that the enemy will send into your life that will manipulate and play on that thinking and make you think you need to stay the same, because insecure people tend to manipulate everybody else so they get the upper hand. Say, well, what about people doing that? Think of it this way. The people might mean well, but the devil doesn't. And the devil can get in anybody. When manipulation against God's plan for your life, against God's will for your life comes against you, recognize it's the devil trying to use somebody. Say, but that can't be the devil when my 10-year-old wants me to stay home on Sunday and play ball with them. Excuse me? See, many times your enemy is cloaked in your friend. And you've got to separate your friend from the enemy. The devil's your enemy. Your child isn't. Child being a child. But in the innocence of a child, they don't know what they're doing. Why? They haven't yet learned we honor God no matter what. Why do I say that? Because that's an example that's prevalent today that I see happening again and again. Do you need family time? I want you to have it. It's one of the most important things you can do in your life, but it is not more important than honoring the Lord as a family coming to his house. So if we get first thing right, he blesses the rest. We've taught on that. Well, that was a touchy spot. I could feel the pain when I said that today. I don't mean to inflict pain. I mean to bring healing today. All right. Now, opposition is raised against God's people in this situation. Understand that the battlefield is not just against you, but everything that Jesus stands for. Everything that he wants to do. But in you, the victory comes. Not just the battle, but the victory comes. When you experience a victory, church experiences a victory. When church experiences a victory, the kingdom experiences a victory. And what happens is we are still taking back what the enemy means to hold back. We're taking it back. Opposition comes in the three voices I've mentioned. I think I've said it three times already. Limitation, manipulation, and intimidation. I want to hit those in this story because those voices come in thoughts. They come through people. They come in situations. Why? You will interpret a situation according to your thought life. And you may have something come against you. And if your thought life is pretty low in the things of God right then, there can't be any power come, because the power will come at your thoughts, because your thoughts control your words. And if you're having down thoughts about you when the enemy comes against you, you're more likely to lose unless you change your mind really quickly. This morning, in the battles that you fight, I'll tell you by the Spirit of God, if you'll change your mind this morning, you'll trend toward victory. If you leave here allowing your mind to stay polluted with wrong thoughts, thoughts of losing, well, then you're more likely going to lose. See, I can't change it, but you can change it by the power of God working in you. I'm not a manipulator. I'm just simply being his mouthpiece this morning and a teacher. But when you believe the truth, all that work of the enemy has to turn loose of you. And the scripture calls it having the mind of Christ. That means our mind lines up with the anointing of God. That means what God intends to do, we choose to agree with. We say, I may not feel like it, I may not see it with my eyes, but I believe it anyway, and I am having me some of that. And then we begin to say it out of our mouth. You are the most convincing person for you that ever walked the planet. You are the person. When you choose to believe, you can convince yourself of anything. Think of it. Almost every person stands in front of the mirror and tells himself they're wonderful and beautiful and handsome till they believe it. People are pretending they've never done that. And I know better. Or you can stand in front of the mirror with the 30 pounds you want to lose and say, I see myself as thin. And you believe it eventually. What? We take action on what we believe. It may take a little time for those actions to catch up with our words, but if the power of God hits those actions in the doing, our potential finally shows. And we stand in front of the mirror and say, see, I told you. Or we get around people that said, well, I saw you eating that brownie. See, I told you. People still once in a while say, Pastor, you're splurging. I told you. I get splurged now. I'm just throwing that in there. A little bit. Here's the conflict. Who's going to rule and reign in this life as king? Are you going to be a king in the kingdom of God? Are you going to be a king in your life? Or are you going to be a slave in your life? Being saved doesn't free you from slavery, just being saved. You got to keep being saved. You were saved from hell. You got that for free. You're being saved to the goodness of the kingdom, and you get that by Jesus' lordship, by giving him more and more of you so he can give you more and more of him. That's why we want to be hearers of the word and then become doers of the word, and not just hearers only, why it pleases him. You can't be a doer of the word without doing some things by faith. And saying out of your mouth, I'm going to say how things are going to turn out here. And put yourself out there a little bit. While you're really putting God's word out there is what you're doing. And you're just following up behind his word. Your life follows a trail of God's word that you speak out of your mouth. That's how you have whatsoever you say. You say it along the way. And then you follow in the footsteps of actual living what you have said. So when we're disappointed with life, we need to recognize it's rooted in God being disappointed in what we said. We didn't say the right things enough. We didn't say them enough to believe them. See, many people say things like, well, Pastor, aren't you supposed to believe it before you say it? I say, heavens, no. You say it until you do believe it. You might do some saying for a while. I remember along that weight loss journey telling people when I was 130 pounds ago, I'm going to lose over 100 pounds and I'm going to keep it off the rest of my life. And they just smile. Wouldn't even say God's power to you or God help you or pour you or whatever. They wouldn't say, Why? But you're more likely to believe your words than anybody else is. But you know who believes them first? God does. You know who believes them second? Satan does. You're probably somewhere third to 103rd. You might have faith-filled people around you that choose to believe right with you. I'm with you in that. It's a nice one to have some of those. Now, recognize first the voice of limitation. This is what happens. Jesse said unto David his son, he's been out with the sheep, take your brother's bread and cheese. And the eldest brother said, who do you think you are, David? David showed up with the bread and cheese, and his brother immediately is pointing out his limitation. You don't belong here. You can't fight a battle. You're just a child. Look what's in your hand. You're not even holding a weapon. You're holding cheese and bread from mama. So they're goading him, and they're making fun of him. You're always going to have somebody that Satan tries to use to ask the question, who do you think you are? You're always going to have somebody or your own mind saying, you're not ready for this, you're not qualified. I'm sure that David didn't need the older brother to tell him he wasn't carrying a weapon. I'm sure David got there and looked around and thought, I am the odd man out. I better be really careful where I step and where I walk because everybody else is in armor and I have goat skin on and I'm carrying bread and cheese and I brought the little goat cart down here. And I'm smaller than most of them, and I probably really don't fit in, and I'm an easy target. They could pick me off if they... I'm sure all of that was going through his mind. And at the time, he was simply on a mission to deliver bread and cheese, and you probably find yourself living for God more like that than feeling like you're ready for battle. You are not limited by how God uses you in this moment. You are not limited by just what little bit you might be openly serving the Lord. You are only limited by God's design in your life, and he pulls off all the limits. And he says, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Somewhere along the way, David didn't know those words that hadn't been penned yet, but the Holy Spirit knew that truth. And the Holy Spirit began to work on David in the battlefield in the middle of all of his limitations. Even though he was being accused by those around him that he could never measure up, that he wasn't even a warrior, something on the inside of him said, but I have the anointing. He was anointed to be king. As anointed to be king, he would be commander over the hosts of Israel. Jesus was the king over the hosts of heaven, and he's who lives in you. Jesus in you has full reign over all of heaven and earth and everything under the earth. At the mention of his name coming out of your mouth, every knee will bow at the mention of his name coming out of your mouth if you choose to walk in that anointing. You can choose it or not. Say, well, Pastor, how do I know I'm walking in that anointing? You work on believing it. You determine that God's plan in you is greater than you know, and he's anointed you to be king of something in the earth for him, and you're going to do that while your flesh and blood is alive down here. You're not waiting for some millennial reign thing where you're suddenly a new person. Scripture says you're already a new creation, made in the image and likeness of the Heavenly Father. When we choose to believe that, the power of God can come and mix with the potential of God's plan on the inside. All of your past, all of your failings, all of your doubt and unbelief cannot stop the will of God if you'll choose to believe the potential for everything God has done in you and will do through you still lives in you. The enemy tries to stop the kingdom of God from rolling forward, but he can't stop it from coming inside of you. So he's fighting you to keep the kingdom from coming out in your life, to keep you from ruling and reigning, trying to work you into the ground somehow. And Eliab drew others into the disqualifying talk. That was the oldest brother. He got garnered people around him. I don't know if you've ever noticed, but I've experienced this many times in my life where there's a detractor. And the detractor, if he feels like he's not getting the upper hand, will find more that'll talk just like him. So you might deal with an issue in your mind. Well, this is just a battle of my mind. I'm going to overcome it. Then pretty soon a person with a real voice comes into your life, and it's somebody that you have thought, you know, might be a friend. But they line up with the voice on the inside of you that says you'll never amount to anything, or you'll not win this battle, or you have cancer, you poor thing, or whatever. People mean well, but sometimes people that mean well are also really uninformed. Or I'd say it this way, they're really stupid when it comes to the Word of God. So you got to be careful when you listen to friends, if they're in the wisdom of God or wisdom of man. Wisdom of man has to bow its knee to the wisdom of God. So I like to hear what's the report of the Lord when I hear another report. See, now, insecure people are really questioning your right to rule, and it isn't so much the people. It's the enemy working through somebody. See, I love people, and I recognize all people need a lot of room, including me. So I choose to walk in a lot of mercy. Why, somebody might rise up in their insecurity and tell me that I won't be able to do God's will. I smile and I answer back, oh, I will too, because it's God's will. And I believe that's why I'm in the earth. That's why he put me here. This whole life is a test to see if I will have the bravery and the skills and the boldness to obey him. So I choose to obey him. What is that, faith? But the enemy can work through somebody who's otherwise a friend. You don't discount the person. You just answer with the Word of God. What do you do? Help train them upright. They're walking in some level of ignorance. You say, oh dear, Pastor, that makes us uncomfortable around one another. Welcome to an uncomfortable place. I want you to understand the role of this church, what it really is. I grew up in an era where the locker rooms were still open showers, and you know, everybody had to change into their gym clothes, and it was awkward. And in that awkwardness, many times you try to achieve a little privacy, and no matter which way you turn, some part of you is not going to be private. And if you recognize that feeling, that's what should happen at church at the hearing of God's word. Is we're in this place of vulnerability because we're taking something off. We're chunking off a lie from the past. We're chunking off something we believed about ourselves. We're chunking off wrong associations. And then we've got to put on the garb to do battle to win. You are as encumbered now with things that hold you back from battle in a way that if you don't take those belief systems off, you can't put on the belief system of God's word. What I say will sound like a pipe dream until you get rid of wrong thinking. what I say will sound like a happy Bible story unless you recognize the enemy is using somebody to lie in your life that you need to step back from and say, I'm not going to let them have power over me. I won't believe the lie. You might be yoked to the person. You might be married to the person. You might be in business with the person. You are called to love the person and win them, not to reject them. But you reject the lie. And you reject the lie by saying, no, I believe the truth of what God says about me. Hide and watch. You'll see it come to pass. I've done that to a lot of people in my life. I wasn't supposed to amount to anything according to people. But I'll say I credit Jesus for anything I ever will achieve. But I like to say the phrase, just hide and watch. See what happens. Why? That's who we are in Christ. So if you're in the changing room today and you feel vulnerable, so, well, I don't want anybody to know my business. Then change quickly. There's certain garments I can put on faster than anybody else. Why? It just felt weird in that locker room. There's certain guys looking, and I know now why they were looking. I learned years later. It got kind of quiet. In your life, you are scrutinized. Make the change quickly and get on with the game. Learn to look forward to what God has for you next, that you're being dressed for a battle. But before you put on those garments, our openness and nakedness makes us feel very vulnerable. Church is a place of vulnerability. Something I'm hot on around here is don't you criticize anybody. Just change quickly. When you change quickly, what are you doing? You're focusing on you and they're focusing on them. And everybody gets changed quickly. And it doesn't have to be uncomfortable. I'll let you think about that. You can quote me, church is like a locker room in 1979. Started changing after that, I learned. Insecure people, insecure devils will challenge your right to rule. It isn't so much the people, it's the enemy of God. Making people encourage an insecurity in you so that you don't somehow achieve something someone else hasn't. Be willing to lead in the achievements and you'll break everybody's insecurity. Be aware of the voice second of manipulation. Saul, the king at the time, tried to make David fit into Saul's armor and use Saul's weapons, and it didn't work out. You may in your Christian experience be trying to do exactly what everybody else has done, the way they've done it, and put on their armor and pick up their weapons. It won't work out for you that way. I don't know what your position is or what you're called to do for the Lord Jesus. That's for you to find out. But it won't be just like anybody else. You'll have garments that are your garments for victory that you will put on in that locker room if you will get down to bear things with the Lord Jesus. And say, without you, I can do nothing. See, he takes us there first. Your church experience, after people love on you, after you settle in, is to hear a word and say, do I really want to take that off? Do I really want to give that to the Lord Jesus? Do I really want to become vulnerable? Do I really want to believe what Pastor is saying is true? Do I really want to believe that I am a spirit and that I'm not just here trying to live for Jesus? No, you're a spirit with the victory. You're a spirit like unto the Holy Spirit. You're a spirit set up to win. You are a spirit that's made to believe the Word of God is true. You're a spirit that's made to believe that easily, change quickly, and grow up in Him in all things to what God calls a perfect man, a perfect woman. We shouldn't be intimidated by that statement, but we should be challenged and say, all right, then whatever that means, I want it. It has to mean something more than we think of perfect. It must just mean that we look like and act like Jesus an awful lot. Now, Saul tried to fit David into that armament. It didn't work out. Understand, when there's somebody insecure, Saul was very insecure. He was supposed to lead the charge. He should have been the one to face Goliath. He was anointed to be king, but he wouldn't do it. He was waiting for someone else. Do not be the Saul in this picture, manipulating everybody else to do what you're called to do. You're anointed to be king. You have to rise up and be king of yourself. You've got to rise up and be king over the enemy. You've got to rise up and be a king under the Lord Jesus, who is the King of Kings. You're going to have to put your foot on the neck of somebody, not a person, but your spiritual opposition. In your mind, in your relationships, in your situations, you're going to have to put your foot down somewhere, or there will be a foot come down on you. chuck off what does not fit from the past. Many of you walk around with an identity that's false, or somebody along the way had a word from the Lord for you, trying to move you into a belief system or a place, or the enemy came with a lie and you chose to believe it, trying to move you into a position through this kind of manipulation that doesn't fit you. I am in no way what anybody ever came to me and said, this is what God will do in your life. There are three people that spoke that accurately. That happened when I was 19 years old, and all three said the same thing in a different way, and it's astonishing to me why they were used of God as the oracle of God. Don't try to be the oracle of God for someone else until you have seen yourself be set free of all of these things. Be the oracle of God over yourself and begin to proclaim what God says about you is true, that you're just as anointed as the next person. You just haven't learned what to do with it yet. And you're in the process of learning. You're in the process of chunking off what is holding you back and taking on what will move you forward. Because the word and promise of God will always move you forward to the victory. It will not be some weighty thing put around your neck by a wrong belief, or somebody speaking something over you that is not God's word, or you looking at the scripture and misinterpreting it. Are you thinking there's something wrong with you when you were born again, that you're still lacking something? When you were born again, you got the seed form of everything that Jesus is or ever will be living inside of you. And there is nothing wrong with you that you can't overturn. You overturn it by the power of God coming into your potential of God. And then we become his sons and daughters, you see, instead of just living like servants. God doesn't want anybody in the New Testament church just to live like a servant. He's anointed us to become kings and priests, sons and daughters of his, you see. When we accept anything less, we really bring shame to the gospel of Christ. He wants us to bring glory to the person of Jesus. That's what we're called to do. The voice of manipulation tries to keep you in the fit of the past instead of shucking that garment. I don't know if you remember the same locker room. Monday, it smelled pretty good. Friday, it reeked. Why? Those garments stayed in that place. Understand what will happen to you here. When you take on the garments of Jesus' righteousness, the old garment's going to be burned. You don't need to put it on again. You're going to go back to gym class and change again? Bring new gym clothes, all right? I heard the high school teacher say, especially in high school, you leave your gym clothes here on Friday, we will make you wear them the whole next week. It happened to some a few times. You know what happens when you stay in the old garment? Everybody avoids you. And you begin to think, why am I not fitting in? Why won't anybody play with me? Why won't anybody fellowship with me? Why is it when I walk in the room, everybody's quiet? You need to put on the new garment. Third, the voice of intimidation is the most defiant. Goliath put up with a lot up until now because David answered him in this situation. Why? The enemy will try to get in your head as a final result to talk you out of obeying God right when there's to be a victory moment. At the very moment. It's his strongest piece in the arsenal. Is not what everybody else can say, not what circumstances dictate, but instead what you choose to believe about you. And whenever you step out on the battlefield to take out a giant, whenever you address any of these three, Goliath will roar in your face. He will intimidate you any way that he can to try to make you feel like you have no chance against him. At a last-ditch effort, he will rear up against you and circumstances will shift and change to try to talk you out of your next important step to the victory. While David was carrying the cheese and the milk and the cornbread to the battlefield, he didn't deal with an enemy. He just went on the battlefield. The enemy rose up through the king of the day. The enemy rose up through the brothers. The enemy rose up through people who should have known better, in other words. But the Holy Spirit rose up in the middle of all of that and said, who do you want to believe? Do you want the power or to leave the battlefield having had only the potential. If he had left the battlefield that day, David and the nation would have been slaves, probably for generations. But the word of the Lord was that there would be a stem come out of Jesse who would be the person of Jesus, and David had to be anointed and succeed in the anointing to be king. Understand that your children and your grandchildren and people in relationship with you await you rising up to be a king for God. They are looking to you. You know this as parents. If you've been rearing children, they look to you for more and more. At times you think they're not paying attention to you at all. But all of a sudden, by some wisdom, you become greatly smarter and they turn to you and start asking the questions you wanted them to ask when they were 13 and 14. But when they're 23 and 24, they come asking, why? You didn't grow in great wisdom. They grew in some understanding. Be the one that grows in some understanding and turn to the Lord and say, I don't want to be in this funky in-between state anymore. I want to come into victory. See, David had a moment where he could have turned away as a boy with all the potential, but instead he embraced the enemy as a man. He didn't just go forward as a natural man, though. He went as an anointed man of God because he was. If he hadn't faced Goliath, he would have denied the power. He would have denied the anointing. He would have walked away to become king yet some other time. Maybe even the anointing to be king would have lifted from him because he would not engage the enemy. If you don't engage the opposition, you will be a person without anointing, and it will not take long. You become the person it's easy to talk out of living for God. You become like the myriad of many people in this generation who have chosen to pull back, thinking God doesn't have any standard in their life, when really the standard God gives us guarantees our victory if we'll live His way instead of our way. So many step back, never experiencing the power and the delivering forces of God, so they're duped into believing all kind of mishmash mess that's in the world. You'll be set free if you choose to embrace the anointing of God that's in His Word. And your mind will begin to change and you'll begin to believe the truth, and then that truth can set you free. But if you don't believe it, you'll walk away from that battlefield believing the voice of Goliath. Don't believe the enemy. He's a liar. And Goliath said unto David, am I a dog that they send you, little boy, out here to me? Are they crazy? Are they foolish? Are you stupid? Are you mental? You come out here. Where's your king? Yeah. Ooh. Back there doing nothing but shaking. Back there bribing somebody else. Back there manipulating somebody else to get their head cut off instead of the king. But what would happen? The one who would accept the anointing and step out in it would take off the head of the enemy and take on the crown as king. That's what's at stake. Not life as it used to be, but life as you've never known it, better than you've ever known it before. That's what's at stake today. Am I a dog that you come to me with the unproven child? Here's the situation you're waiting for, probably. Well, when I win a few little battles, I'll go out and win the big battle. No, you won't. Spiritual authority doesn't work that way. It works the opposite way. You take the head off the giant and the rest of them will bow their knee to you. You have an issue, whatever it is. I don't know. I don't want to know. I don't ask when people come to the altar. I just soon never know. But whatever your giant is, whatever is opposing you, when you take the head off that thing, all the little stuff will bow down. Why? They recognize what is the source of your main problem. Why? This is a spiritual battle. The forces of darkness know what is the biggest thing you contend with. And if you get the victory over that one opposer, all the opposition will bow their knee and say, we must now serve the kingdom of God in you. Why? Because you can't do that on your own. You can't take Goliath out on your own. It looked like David was going out there all alone. Didn't even have Saul's armor or Saul's sword. He laid them all aside and said, I've got to do this by the power of God or I'm going to die trying. If you face something like that, congratulations. You are in the locker room. You are in the place of change. You are in the place of exchanging the old filthy garment for something new that's spotless called Jesus' righteousness. And when you put it on, you're going to feel different. You're going to know something has happened to you. David, in this exchange, was experiencing a locker room moment as he engaged Goliath. And Goliath is intimidating him every way that he can. Goliath said, "We're going to feed your carcass to the animals." And David instead stepped out in the anointing. And he said, "No, I'm coming with God living in me and on my life. And I'm the one that will take your head off until you are dead. And these people are going to serve the kingdom of God. We're not going to serve the kingdom of darkness." A 14-year-old to a 9-foot giant man. Let's say he's 6-foot strapping, strong 14-year-old. Little intimidation at work. But what did David do? He pressed through the intimidation. Altar many times is intimidating for people. I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes you got to get up, move to break the intimidation on your life. You might be saying today, "Well, Pastor, what you're saying applies to me. It applies to everybody here. You can't dance around this one. I know it applies to everybody." Well, this is one of the biggest things that happens to Christians. If you're a Christian, this applies to you. So, "Well, I'm not in the ring. You're about to be." Be forewarned. At this word, you're going to recognize when the bell rings and the match starts. If you don't know about it coming now, wake up. The bell's going to ring. You're going to be called to fight. So what do? Just be ready for the bell to ring. Have your dukes up and be out there. Be ready. Put your silkies on, they used to say in wrestling class. That we don't wear those anymore. But we used to have these little silky, that was your little boxing pant. Well, it's supposed to cause you to not take hits as hard. That's a lie. It feels just as bad through satin. It just makes you feel like it won't. So you just jump out there. What do you jump out? You jump out there with your dukes up. What do you do? "I'm here to fight, and it's a fight I'm going to win. It's a fight of faith. I release my faith in this situation. I will not be destroyed. Rather, I will rise up strong. And it might look like there's a moment of crucifixion, but I will rise again." So you might hit the mat a few times. That's your little moment to identify with Jesus' crucifixion and say, "Jesus, I'm glad you died so I could be resurrected. I'm hopping back to my feet." Sometimes it might be the 9 count before you choose to believe it. But if you don't get up, something's coming for your head. So you get up. Why? It's your job to take the head off the opposition that's coming against you. It's your job to win the battle for you. It's my job to inspire you a little bit today. Why? The power of God's going to come upon you today to win if you want to. See? Your potential is crying out. The voice of your spirit on the inside this morning is crying out to God to do something great, to do something more, to do something that is a marked victory. To have something that is a testimony in the current year. To have something that was meant for harm that was turned around for the good. And you chose to believe God and it turned out good. The person next to you needs to hear your story like that. In fact, you need to look in the mirror and hear your own story like that. We all must write stories like that. As we close, understand intimidation works to stop your first step into battle. Intimidation will be the loudest voice to try to stop you from taking action today, from stepping out, to standing in God's anointing, for choosing to be a believer even when your mind is full of doubt. Be like Bible greats who said, "Lord, help me for my unbelief." I believe you, but help my unbelief. I've got some belief and some unbelief going on at the same time. And Jesus answered, "I'll help you believe." Why? We hear his word, we choose to believe it, we step out. Expect your mind, expect the enemy to work through people who mean well. Expect all of these oppositions. Learn to recognize them. Don't be mean to people. Love people. Win people to Jesus. Don't expect everybody to know everything that you know. They're not going to. You go to this church, you're going to know some more. So why do you say that? That isn't prideful and arrogance. I know what my calling is. The body is to equip believers to become perfect men and women of God in this earth. Then we rise up leaders to the next generation. Why? If you are led by the Holy Spirit, he says you're perfect. That doesn't mean we have all the answers and do everything right. It means we choose to be led by the Holy Spirit again and again and again. We hop up off the mat and say, "I will not be taken out. I may have been knocked down, but I'm not going to stay down. I'm jumping back up." See, some of you have been laying on the mat a long, long time. I'm just going to talk about your spiritual condition for a minute. You were taken down by the same opposition 3 times. You just decided, "I'm just going to lay here till the 9 3/4 count. Then I'll jump back in the game." You better jump before you get there. His sword's coming down on your neck. See, when the enemy talks us out of obeying God, we step out of the anointing. We think we're still in the locker room of safety of the church, but we kind of suddenly have the locker room not there and we're out in the open field, naked in our state of change. What do? You put on the garment of Christ Jesus righteousness and say, "Enough of this. enough of my pity party, enough of my excuses, enough of my delays. I'm going to jump up and I'm going to put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, and I'm coming up out of this place. Why, that's awful close to the grave. See, we want to not be there. We answer with a voice of validation. Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and a spear and a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts." See, he recognized he had an army with him. It wasn't the army of intimidation that was standing there shaking. It wasn't in the king of manipulation that thought he was sending David out to surely die. It wasn't in the limitation of David's youth. He stepped out in one step beyond all of that, and he validated who he was in God. I am the one that represents the Lord of hosts, and he is with me, and I'm going to take your head off until you're dead, and that will end your big mouth flapping in the breeze against me. So you just got to choose. Who do you want to be in that one step? One step. One step out of your seat. One step into God's future. One step away from who you used to be. One step away from the failures. One step away from people who have hurt you or failed situations or somebody let you down because they didn't act the way you. You just let all of that go and say, no, no, no. My future in God is with me and only me, and I need His Spirit to be my partner. When you embrace the Holy Spirit in the way I'm talking about, you begin to say God's word instead of your words. You begin to be built up instead of torn down. See, a lot of times people blame everybody else for it. Nobody can tear you down unless you let them. God calls you a walled city. You're in charge of the wall, not the people on the outside. You're in charge of the wall. You let the wall be weakened by not hearing God's word, then stones are going to come out of your wall and you're going to want to blame people. What is, that's manipulation. Well, I choose to believe they did it to me. I'm not responsible. That's one of those opposers, you see. But today I know something about you. I know something about you that stirs in my heart. God's potential is within you. His potential is not a little bit. You didn't get a little bit of Heavenly Father. You got the fullness of the Godhead bodily living in you. The entire DNA of the God of heaven. The entire plan and purpose of God in you. The full potential to be a victor in every area of life. And today the Holy Spirit says to you, if you will take action and take that one step, the anointing and power of God will come upon you in a tangible way, and things will never be the same again. Amen. Stand to your feet. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we open the altar this morning for those who want to come and pray, this is not anointing coming by pastor's touch. This is anointing coming by taking a step. This is an anointing for those that will take a step and say today, I have been accused by the enemy. I have been limited and manipulated and controlled and intimidated by the enemy. I'm coming out of that today. And I take a step over into believing God. I will not withhold any of me. I will not withhold my time, my talent, or my treasure. I will not withhold my fellowship with believers. I will not withhold my witness to unbelievers. I will be a living, breathing brother and sister of the Lord Jesus Christ, looking like and acting like my Heavenly Father more and more every day. The old me has passed away, and behold, all things in me have become new. And I shuck off the old this morning to take on the new, and things will never be the same. Same with me again, because greater is He that is in me, and He who comes upon me, the Spirit of truth, you see, to make me some new man that I've never before been, but I'm now going to be a new creation, a new species in the Lord Jesus, you see, one that rises up above the fray of the earth, one that rises up above the fear of man, one that rises up above the tactics of the enemy, and I will rise up, and my wings shall be renewed like the eagles, and I will soar yet again to see another day, and my perspective shall always be altered and changed, because I choose to trust in the anointing of the one who has chosen me, and He has anointed me because He's called me by name, and I call unto Him the name of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, my over shepherd, my King, the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. If you believe that, shout amen. There we go. Well, you let me preach today. I'll tell you something. I like preaching better than teaching. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Today was a whole series of about five parts all in one. while you were ready to get it. Something happened today when we started service. Thank you for stepping up there, Kaylin, praying. I felt like she used to do that, that it would help shift some things. Well, our hearing would get better. Our seeing would get better. I heard her say something to the fact, whatever you've got for us today, God, we want to get it all. That was the right kind of praying. This morning, if you want to take a step, I'm going to tell you what the altar looks like. I'm going to dismiss you just in a moment. The altar is open for anybody that wants to come. I would encourage you to come and just in taking a step today, you're saying, God, everything that was in that, I believe, and I want it for me. Then you come talk to him for a few minutes in the altar. Make it personal with the Lord Jesus Christ today. The word of the Lord has come to you saying, as it came into my ear saying, as I was saying, he was speaking into my ear and into my heart the things that needed to be said. I want you to trust the word of the Lord and believe it for yourself. He will make something out of your nothing. He's determined to do it. He loves to start with a deficit where we've made a mistake. He loves to redeem us from the mistake and then release his power into our potential and turn you into some great thing, some great person, some great force for the kingdom of God. This is a house about releasing the person and power of the Lord Jesus Christ into the earth. The kind of resurrection power that made the stone roll away. The kind of resurrection power that caused Jesus to be raised from the dead. King of life, all eternal. This is an eternal matter. Today touched on your eternal identity. Today was about your eternal destiny. Who heaven already knows you to be, that you're wanting to find out about while you're still here. Heavenly Father, bless this people this morning in Jesus' name. We are the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. We will suffer no harm or lack in anything. We are in the new covenant, the covenant of grace. Jesus, you did this for us, and we fully embrace and receive it by faith, that we will be and we shall have everything Jesus called us to be and everything he's provided for us to have. Satan, turn loose and let go. Your number is up. The bell is ringing on you. We put our feet down on your neck now. You'll not possess us or anything that belongs to us. We belong to the King of Kings, and we rise up strong, not in arrogance, but true humility. We serve the Lord Christ, his anointed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Be blessed as you go.
We pray that today you were challenged to move closer to God and encouraged with the depth of his love for you. If you would like to know more or hear additional messages, please call us at 217-395-2231. You can also write to us at Living Word Church, P.O. Box 158, Roberts, Illinois, 60962. Or visit our website at gotolwc.org. And as always, we would love to have you join us on Sundays at 10 a.m. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and give you peace.